name we do. We just thank you and we lift him up. He's the only one to be lifted up. Thank you, Lord, that we magnify him in all things, in everything. He is worthy to be praised. Lord, thank you that he's the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, God, he's the love that doesn't let us go. Hallelujah. He's our song in the night. He's our praise, Lord God, even in the dungeon and in the lion's den, Lord God, in the fiery furnace, Lord God, let us just release the praise and thanksgiving to him that he loves us so. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This word works effectually in them that believe. It's the joy and the peace in believing. And Lord God, it's by your Holy Spirit that we abound in that hope. Lord, let it just be unleashed. God, let this not be quenched in any way, shape, or form. And God, that it wouldn't be anything strange, but just pure praise and thanksgiving is the joy that David received, God, from you, because it was the grace as they brought the ark, the presence of the Lord, back in. Oh, he danced and he sang. God, he was beside himself. And Lord, what he was dancing before is what you have shown to us. Oh, Lord, hallelujah, it's the presence of God in the cherubim. Lord, he's bringing in, praise God, the shadow and type of those worthies of the Old Testament that would stand there and watch as they would even cast their crowns. He has his glory. She is with him. Oh, Lord, thank you that we know this. And God, thank you that we love it. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name, now and forever, and may it be face to face today. Amen. Praise God. Now, we're going over in Deuteronomy to start today, and in the 32nd chapter, and in the 39th verse, God has given Moses a song to sing. And he says there in one of the little parts of it, "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." You go on over to John chapter 10. The Lord continues this encouragement in verse 27. My sheep, hear my voice, and I know them. Jesus knows you. Thank you. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never, never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I love my eternal security. I love his everlasting life that is mine. And that is the life that we have that is told to us in John 3:15 and 16. Because we believe that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I'm really happy I got his life. That's the only life that lives in a child of God. Whether you want to accept it or not, I feel sorry for you if you're wrestling with it, because that's just downright stupid. Believe the word of God. Galatians 2:20 told you very clearly that the moment that you accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, you said, I'm crucified with Christ. Amen. Wasn't that the significance of that testimony to men of your baptism? Going into that water, dead. I'm crucified with him. But I didn't stay there very long. Whoop! Praise be to God. But nevertheless, I live. I'm raised with him. But see, it's not me that lives any longer. This life that I live in this flesh now, it's Christ that liveth in me. Amen, it is. That Jesse guy, he died. But now I live in this life, I live in the flesh, which is Christ in me. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he tells me here, praise be to God, this precious life of Jesus, it's his very life. I am now a son of God. And my life that I have, which is his life, is eternal life. And if you didn't get that in 3:15, 3:16 tells you it's everlasting life. And I believe eternal and everlasting, I can say one thing about both of them. It has no end. Praise be to God. And that was given so sweetly by grace. By grace through faith. Grace gave each one of us a little teeny microscopic mustard seed of faith. That I said, I believe. I believe that. I believe that historical figure named Jesus, who was crucified on a cross historically. I believe that those disciples that followed him, that were all made martyrs, except maybe one. They all denied him. Historically speaking. But after his death, historically speaking, every one of them gave their life for him and would not denounce their faith in Jesus. Historical fact. And historically speaking, they crucified him. But historically speaking, it says that he claimed to be the Son of God. But praise be to God, I don't have faith in history. I have faith in the Word of God. He is the only begotten of the Father. And praise be to God, he's my Savior. He's my Savior. He's the Lamb, praise God, who gave his life for me. He's very God, a very God, praise God. And he left that throne at the right hand of his Father. And he came, praise God, and he was made. He's made one of us. He's made like me. Oh, what a mess. But he was perfect. Perfect. And he was tempted in every way. And he was tried in every way. And he knows. He knows us. See, he knows us. And oh, how he knows his sheep. And we know his voice. And he calls to us. And I thank the Lord by his grace that we respond. I love you too, Jesus. I love you too. A mustard seed of faith made that alive in you, didn't it? You believed that God loved you. Was it hard for you to believe that God loved you? It wasn't. Because I'm a lovable guy. Because I know how much Jesus loves, and it wasn't hard for him to love me. It was easy for him to love, because that's who he is. God is love. And that was his whole purpose, and that was the whole intent. That it wasn't hard for him to love me because of him, not because of me, but because of him. And he forgave my sins for his sake. He couldn't deny what the Father had set before him. Oh, that joy that set before me. That joy that set before me. And I'll just put myself there, that Jesse that's set before me. Oh, he's my joy. He's my joy. And I'm going to that cross for him. And I'm going to have him. And I've seen him in me in ages past. Praise God. And he's going to know me. And he's going to love how I love him. And he's going to receive that love and he's going to love me with it. And he's going to believe me. He's going to hear the words that are alive right now. And they're going to work effectually in him. And he's going to profess his name. And he's going to rejoice with all those sons of glory about our blessed Redeemer. I am that I am. You just believed that God so loved you that he gave you Jesus to die for you. It's not hard. That's easy. And that faith in God's love, that faith in God's love, that is the key to opening every promise of God up in your life. The only thing that'll keep you from believing God is by refusing his love. That's the only thing that keeps a sinner from receiving Jesus, is they keep refusing this love of Jesus. If you're having difficulty understanding even anything in the Word of God, he said, I'll tell you, even if you be otherwise minded, I'll make that known unto you. But you have to believe that he loves you. When you hear the word, it's not, well, how could I have that? It's how could I not have that when he loves me like that? What don't you understand when he looks at you and he says, it's all yours? Why do you tell him that, well, it couldn't be? I don't want to insult Jesus. I don't want to insult his love. I don't want to insult his love. I don't want to push his love away. And I thank the Lord that that's how all of the promises of God, I can testify to you, which is the word of God. That's how they have all opened up in my life. Because I believe that Jesus loved me. I couldn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. But his love purposed it for me. And his love purposed it for you. Amen. It's always the same. Any gain you'll ever have in truth, any growth you'll ever have in truth, it's faith in his love. Faith in his love. It's not because of my study habits. It's not because I'm such a great retainer of being able to quote everything. Because I can't. I have a hard time remembering a lot of things, but I never forget he loves me. Man, that quickens me every moment. Every moment, everything I ever face. I shouldn't have done that, but he loves me. I wish I would have acted a different way. Yeah, but he loves me. Now, faith in his love. Only way you're ever going to receive anything from him is just by unconditionally believing all of his unconditional love for you. Don't put any conditions on it. Because there isn't. And there aren't. It's unconditional. It's free. It's been given. And all of it, to every single one of us. And I'll tell you what, when he tells you he gave you everything, I mean he gave you everything of his. Everything. And I thank the Lord in believing it, but I thank the Lord it surprises me over and over. The thing that surprises me is as I trust him in that love, he shows me what he's given me. And then he shows me a little bit more in a different light and a different height and a different depth. Sometimes he has to take me places I never wanted to go to show me that. Even places probably I shouldn't have gone. But as sweet David told each and every one of us, though I make my bed in hell, he's there with me. Hallelujah. Tell you what, I'd tell you some things I've seen in a couple hellish places, but you couldn't handle that. But he did. But that's where all the power is. It's in his love. Think of what he tells you is the very source and the power of his might. All of the power of his might is the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. That's the power of his might. And what is the purpose of the Holy Ghost? It's to take the things of Christ. And once again, the things of Christ, and to show them unto you. But what is God? What is Christ? He's love. So then it tells us that the Holy Ghost, what he does is he sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. And that's why you need the Holy Ghost first to be led into all truth. Because without that love, you'll never go forward into truth. The Word of God tells us in Galatians 5:6 that faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. Once again, faith worketh by love. Everybody wants to go on over to James, but without works, there's no faith. Without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Amen, it is. And go back over to Galatians 5:6. Faith worketh by love. Why is your faith dead? Why would any faith be dead? Because the only way faith works is love. People always looking at some grandiose thing that something's going to produce out of your life. I'll tell you what, the ones that have the most faith have the most love. The ones that have the most faith aren't the ones that have the most works. I could have faith to move mountains. And I'll tell you what, if a mountain moved, you'd say, wow, do you see that mountain move? That guy believed that mountain to move, and man, it moved. But if it didn't have love, it profited nothing to the only one it mattered, who is God. But yet, the majority of Christianity, well, let's get together and let's see how great our faith can be. How many mighty things can we see be done? Now we're sounding a lot like them ones that wandered in that desert for 40 years. Oh, God, show us another trick. Show us another act. Moses was always over there by the grace of God. He's my friend. I just want to visit with him face to face. I want to know his ways. And you know one thing that Moses found out about the ways of God? They were love. Love. So, I'll tell you this. It's got to be faith in his love. Now, is it any wonder why then the emphasis of Paul's gospel is to know the love of Christ? Yes. To know the love of Christ. For you to understand, yea, the deep things of God, you need to know the love of Christ. We can be wanting to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's a needful thing. It's wonderful. But it's not about an experience. It's not about checking a box. The purpose of that Holy Ghost is to take the love of God and shed it abroad in your heart so then that you can go on to be led into all truth. Yeah, it's love. You'll never believe the Lord without love. Once again, going back to the very beginning, it's because he first loved me. God so loved the world. You believed in that love and it triggered something. And you said, he loved me. He is my Savior. Well, my Savior said, I love you so much, I'm going to the right hand of the Father to send you the Holy Ghost because I love you so immensely. And matter of fact, this Paul's gospel that is the height and the pinnacle of that love, because it was the gospel that brought forth and made known that Christ Jesus would have a bride. So it was going to take more love. Who was he speaking to when he said that to him about, I've got to go to send you the Holy Ghost? He was speaking to the disciples. He was speaking to us. But what were those disciples satisfied with? We're servants. We're servants. He told them, no, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. But I've even got something more for you. You can understand a friend, but I want a wife. But you can't get that until you have the capacity for more love. Isn't that why the whole purpose of the Word of God is for us to grow up, grow up, grow up, to not remain children? Paul chastised them Christians that would leave the deep things, the meat of the gospel of Christ, and they would return to milk. Why are you doing that? Why are you turning to that? Why? God has shown and revealed, but yet you're turning away? And it's not turning away, shame on you. It's turning away. What a disappointment. He loves you that much. I don't want to turn away from the love of God. I want to love the love of God. I want to be quickened by it. I want it to inspire me. Now, it's faith in Jesus Christ's bridal love for you. It's faith that the working of it must be by love. By love. Now, we read earlier that we're wondrously secure in God's love. It's eternal, it's everlasting. I can't be separated from it. But I remember what someone asked me one time. Well, what does eternal security then have to do with the bride? I said, well, everything. Because without trust, there's no marriage. Once again, without trust, there's no marriage. See, if we don't rest and have full confidence in the love of Christ the bridegroom, then you're lacking the perfect love. You're lacking the faith in the perfect love. You're still thinking too much of you and need to remember it's all Him. Did you do anything to get your salvation? Nope, you didn't. It was just there and you believed what He finished and what He did. It's the same way with the bridal truth. It's what He's given us in the Holy Ghost, and that we can be led into all truth. And the very purpose of this message, the very purpose of the proposal, the time that we live in, that's why He sent the Holy Ghost. That's why He told them, the Holy Ghost is with you but shall be in you. Because you're going to need more love and knowledge of My love to understand and believe He does love me that much. Just like when you accepted Him as Savior. He does love me that much. He does love me that much. And that's the light that needs to continue to go off. He does love me that much. Now, you don't want to receive that perfect love? I'll tell you what. There'll be another one that does. Ask Vashti how quickly she was replaced. That's the truth. There's a lot of types and shadows in that, but that's the one I love to take out of there. That woman had it all. She had all the favor of the king. Amen. You know it. But it wasn't her treasure. It wasn't what she cherished. She didn't realize how beautiful it was to be, I'm it. I'm His. She didn't care. It wasn't her first love. Well, I'll tell you what, there's one that's forgotten. She was just brought in here purposely. Matter of fact, I brought her in. And her name's Esther. And Esther just loved, and she just believed in everything that was told to her. It was simple. Simple. All the things of that one that's the keeper of the woman. You just take what he has and nothing else. It's like I told you, I'm so thankful to Jesus I never had to unlearn anything. Amen. Take what the keeper of the women, take what the Holy Ghost has here. and don't take anything else. And it was beautiful. And there she had it all, but she still didn't even really know it. And then think about this. She goes out there to save the people and stand before the king. And it could have been death. It should have been death. But yet there was so much immense love in that king when he told her. And she knew, and I'm sure she was encouraged, his love for you is beyond all the other women. She wasn't just going out there because she thought, well, I've just got to risk it. Oh, no. That love took her out there. She knew she was loved. She knew it was exceeding. But she was still doubting. He could love me so much, but yet this isn't still right. I still could die. So she had that capacity to stand in front of him. And then she's out there. And she said, honey, I know you know that I love you more than them all. But now I'm going to show you how much I love you. What's mine is yours. It's ours. And you know what? She didn't walk away. She didn't say, oh, that's too much. Matter of fact, she didn't say a thing. Just thank you. I don't know, but we don't get a description. All we know is that she went on. She was his queen. Oh, I pray we're getting this. See, if we don't rest in that confidence of the bridegroom's love for us, there'll be one to take our place. See, it's just trusting in the perfection and the completion of his love. Amen. Of his love that completes him. His love completes him. Paul's gospel, go read and enjoy it. What was given to Paul fulfills or completes the word of God. And you talk about it is the agape divine love gospel. Because it's the gospel that Christ Jesus is going to have a wife. That's what it is. And so we see that the perfection, the completion of this love is when we rest that he loves us like that. And that love completes him. See, that's the trust. When you know the length, the width, and the height, and the depth of the love of God. That's when we know that and we receive that. And that by the grace of God, I'll never be separated from that. It's always there. And that trust in his love, and I'll say it again, that trust in his love is when, as it was said of the virtuous woman, the heart of her husband rests in her. The heart of the husband rests in her. And then you know what the household does? They rise up and they call her blessed. And she just calls back and she says, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. And see, that's her sovereign cry all the time. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. That's how she responds all the time. See, she's overwhelmed and she's ravished and she's rejoicing only in that she is his desire. That's what this gospel tells you. You can sit here and say, well, I don't know that. That's because you don't know this gospel. And you may have heard this gospel, but you're not believing it. What does it mean that the merchant sold all that he has to seek out a goodly pearl? Come on. What does it mean to you that, as Paul said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That's the unlearning of those things that were holding him back. That foundation's laid. He would go on to preach about that. Don't relay it. Don't go back to that. Go on. And what was the going on? I press. Oh my, I press for that mark. I reach, praise God. And there's no working in that. That's just grace. I want that love. Hallelujah. I just want to, and he says it real easy. He says, that I might apprehend that which has apprehended me. Just to turn around and hug it and quit wiggling around. He's got you. Just finally lay hold of him in that regard. He's holding you. But it's for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She's overwhelmed and ravished with that. And once again, think about this. From the very beginning, it never changed. He first loved me. He first loved me. He first loved me. Now, listen to how he first loved you. This is how he first loved you. Because it was revealed to Paul how he first loved you. And in Ephesians chapter 1, this is how he first loved you. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's how he first loved you. He didn't just love you to save you. He loved you to give you everything of his. He loved you in that bridal love from the very beginning. Do you see this? He chose us in him. Chose us. The elect of God. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I'll tell you what. Before and blame, go read that, because it's really only found pretty much in Paul's epistles. It's talking about that glorious church that's without spot or wrinkle. This is bridal talk. Holy, set apart. This is the chaste virgin unto him. That's how much he loved you. And notice how he ends that. That we should be holy and without blame before him in works. Holy and without blame with him holding out. Holy and out without blame because I'm the best Christian and the most religious. Holy and without blame in love. That's how he first loved you. In love with you. In love with you. In love with you. In love with you. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. That's how much love. That's the love in love that we were loved with. And by the grace of God, that's what he wants us to cherish. When Paul said, I have kept the faith, that was the keepsake of faith. That was the cherishing of faith, was his love. I have faith in that he's in love with me. I have faith that before the world was ever set in place, before the stars were ever set in heaven, he saw us and chose us in Christ that we would be holy, set apart, without blame, glorious church without spot or wrinkle, in love. That is the wife. That's the wife for the Lamb. And I, by the grace of God, I know she's here today. And she's one. She's one. The wife for the Lamb that the Father is looking for. She's surrendered and she's ravished in the knowledge of his overwhelming love to her. His glory. Is his wife. His love has made her his equal in ruling and reigning. In everything of his, it's hers. That's knowing his love, isn't it? I didn't come to that place right away. I had to grow. He had to grow in me. And I'll leave it like this. Just like the assurance of my salvation, no man shall pluck. No man's going to pluck me out of his hand. Oh, no. No man can't. Possible. Eternal life, everlasting life, never to be separated from the love of God life. Hallelujah. Well, just like the assurance of my salvation, I'm believing him in the assurance of the hope of his calling into the bridegroom's arms. He said that he will perform. Now, if he can tell me that no man shall pluck me out of his hand, why will I not believe him that he will perform? Amen. Notice, he will perform. Amen. The good work which he's begun in me until the day of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, I'm confident in that. Because his grace holds that crown steadfastly in my hand. And I'll tell you one last thing. I'm only confident in his love for me. And by the grace of God, it ain't changing. It ain't changing. I'm confident in his love. And I'll tell you what, it's just as if I'm seated right there in the midst of the throne. Praise God. And let's get it on. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful to be able to say that to him. Lord, come quickly. I want to be there with you. I want to see these things pour out. Praise be to God. Yes, this is a groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to be thankful when he pours out his judgment. And I'm going to be there with him. And by the grace of God, he's going to give me the bowls, and I'm going to come out and I'm going to throw them out on that place. And praise be to God, they're going to know that he is God, and every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. And I'm going to be standing there right with him, and they're going to be kneeling, and they're going to know that he has loved me and that he gave his life for me, because I believe that he was in love with me in ages past. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Lord, let us believe this today. God, quicken our hearts. God, let us not be holding back no more. Let us not be slow to believe this anymore. God, let us quit just folding our hands and letting an eye to slumber. Lord God, just help us to quit hearing the winds of doctrine and trying to be this and that and all of this so-called good. God, let us be after the very perfect will of God. And them are warriors. They're lovers and fighters. And Lord, thank you that you put the Spirit in us, Lord God, that you teach our hands to war. And God, let us endure hardness as good soldiers. It doesn't matter. We're going to be despised of this world. You said they hated me. They're going to hate you. God, even your own family, they didn't know who you were. They didn't recognize you. But Jesus, as you said, who's my mother? Who's my brother? Who is my family? I'll tell you what, this is them. And you did. You said, eat of me and drink of me. And Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. You filled us up today. My cup runneth over and I shall not want. And I give you all the praise with my precious brethren in Jesus' name. Amen.